The following was recorded live from the Sanctuary of Bethel, Tupper's Plains, Ohio, connecting people to God. Join us now for an on-time message from the Word of God.
Bless the Lord. Actually, Pastor called me yesterday, and he said, "Sister, I don't mean to bother you at work. Are you still working at home?" And I said, "Yeah." I said, "But today's Saturday." And he's like, "Oh, it's Saturday." I was like, "Oh, so you having a good vacation when you don't know what day it is? You forget what the day of the week is. You having fun? That's good. They need a break. Plus, you know, 45 years. That's pretty awesome. Pretty awesome." Oh, are you going to grab that? Oh, the computer. Yeah. Awesome. Well, that's okay. We're having fun today. Interesting things happening this morning. Hallelujah. Okay, so we are still talking about judging prophecy. And he's bringing my clicker over and hoping that we don't knock something over. Oh, you going to be the clicker? Okay, awesome. Okay, so let's pray. And Otis is going to be my clicker. Fun. God. Clickety-clack. Oh, you got, yeah, we're ready. Thank you. Oh, Father God, we just thank you for this morning and for how you have ministered to our hearts. We are just so thankful. So thankful. God, you just hear every tiny little thing, even when we're too afraid to say it out loud. You hear it, you see it, and you address it. And we just honor you for that, Lord God. You are a good Father. We thank you. We love you. We trust you. Continue to speak through us, Lord God, and give us more information this morning in how to hear your voice and clear direction and how to hear and how to receive and what to do with it. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, now Otis and I, we make side bets between one another. No, we ain't gamblers. But we make side bets between one another. And I told him this morning that we're going to do a short review. We were talking about how we were going to address this. I told him we're going to do a short review. And I said, and actually, I'm going to do it because I'm faster. And he said, you think you faster. And I said, no, I am faster than him because I don't get all caught up and start, you know, following every nut because I ain't a squirrel. I'm a person. So...
So let's just make sure we're clear on something real quick. So now, she said we're not gamblers, and that is true and good thing because she would be losing a lot of money. So, just to be clear.
The praise team, y'all know the truth. Inform them later because they know how it works. So here we go. Quick review. So what we want to just reaffirm this morning is the definition of prophecy. Prophecy is communication from God. Prophecy is a message inspired by God. It's a divine revelation because everything from God is divine because he's perfect. He doesn't mess anything up. So again, prophecy is communication from God. You going to be my clicker?
Oh, yes, I am.
See? Give me that. Okay, I'm reclaiming my time.
There you go.
Prophecy is communication from God. A prophecy is a message that's inspired by God. It is a divine revelation. And then also last week we talked about how he communicates with us. He communicates with us through dreams, visions, movement, the spoken word, and the written word. If you would like to hear the specific examples that we gave, then you should listen to the podcast from 2 weeks ago or go on YouTube because did y'all know we were on YouTube? Y'all should subscribe to our channel. It's called Bethel Media. Subscribe to our channel and you can watch the messages. Hallelujah. Okay, also, we got into judging a prophetic word. Judging a prophetic word. The first way that we can judge a prophetic word is that that word must be in line with Scripture and match the heart of the Father. It must be in line with Scripture and it must match the heart of the Father. If it doesn't, it ain't from him, and you should chuck it. Amen? I mean, look, if somebody comes to you and says, sister, the Lord says that you should divorce your husband, chuck it. That's not a word from the Lord. It's really that simple. It's got to match scripture, okay? Number two, before acting on a prophetic word, it must bear witness with the spirit of the one who receives it. And what that means is that, you know, sometimes you'll get a prophetic word and it's like, you're telling me that I have an arts gift? Really? I do? I've never really been interested in the arts. And so sometimes you'll hear something and it sounds a little strange, but if you kind of explore it a little bit, just kind of think about it, because if someone says to you, you have an arts gift, that doesn't go against scripture, does it? So it passed the first test. And then, so, okay, if it passed that first test, you can say, well, let me explore that a little bit. I'll start reading about art. I'll start looking at impressionistic paintings or something, or I'll figure out what kind of arts do I like. Do I like music? Do I like dance? Just start to explore it a little bit. If it doesn't go against scripture, what harm will it do? Explore it. Don't push that off automatically. Sometimes bear witness means that, yeah, it should be something that you kind of already know about yourself, but sometimes we don't know our full self. Sometimes we just don't. Sometimes we don't know everything that God has in store for us. So sometimes if it doesn't go against scripture, sometimes you got to explore a little bit. And we talked about Pastor Dot and how Pastor Dot, you know, somebody asked, or actually it was Miss Tammy. Miss Tammy asked Pastor Dot if she would teach some classes in children's ministry. And Dot was like, I don't like kids. Really, me? But she explored it. She looked at the curriculum and she started seeing it anew in a different way. And she thought that would relate to children. And now she's Pastor Dot. She's Pastor Dot of children's ministry. So we've got to explore it, okay? The third point. And my clicker left me. Okay. Yeah, he does. Okay, this is my husband. He does not like using a computer without a mouse. I don't care. He hates that, so he's setting up a mouse because that's what he likes. Am I going to use that mouse? No.
Except for I'm highly efficient. I'm highly efficient, so then she's going to see how it benefits her in one moment.
So we want to, when we receive a prophetic word, we want to explore, we want to test it. Take a look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 19 through 21. Do not quench the spirit. Do not despise prophecy. Test all things and hold fast to what is good. So it's important that we don't automatically receive a word. I'm chasing a nut. Just a little side note. If you get a word from someone that says, you know, you are going to be in missions, that Lord has a strong gift for you with folks overseas, and you have an eye for the people of Ghana, which is a country in Africa, and you have an eye for the people of Ghana, and then you leave that service and you, like, go buy plane tickets, well, that's inappropriate. That's inappropriate. You didn't make sure it matched scripture. You didn't test it. You didn't take time with it. You just bought some plane tickets. Well, that's not what you're supposed to do. You got to wait a minute. You got to be like a cow. Chew on it. Swallow it. Bring it back up and chew on it some more.
She's so nasty.
Y'all didn't know. No. I knew that about cows, and I'm from Columbus. I knew that. So, yeah. The third one. Look at me going fast.
Mm-hmm.
The third one. The fruit of a prophetic word must be that the person receiving it is brought closer to God and his people. If somebody gives you a prophetic word that says that it's not necessary for you to go to church. It's not necessary for you to go to church. You are close to me. You are close to God without being in the assembly. Well, step one, that's wrong, because the Bible's very clear. We're not to forsake the assembling of the brethren. So if somebody gives you a word like that, chuck it. And, you know, pray for that person, because it's like they missed that scripture. They didn't get that. So, you know, you have to, the fruit of the prophetic word must be that the person receiving it is brought closer to God. Nothing in the prophetic should push you as a person away from God. It should bring you closer to God. He wants us to be close to him so that we smell like him, think like him, walk like him, talk like him, think like him. That's what he wants. So if anybody says anything to you that says that's contrary to scripture or causes you to hate the things of God or detest the things of God or the people of God, that is not a word from heaven. Oh, it's me again. Okay, so now we're fast forward to what we're supposed to do today.
All of that was review.
All of that was review.
Okay.
And look how
just
fast
20
that
minutes.
Was. That was not 20 minutes. Prepared. Number four, the church leadership should be in agreement with the word in its interpretation and application. The church leadership should be in agreement with the word in its interpretation and application. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 13. Sometimes people don't like this word because it has some words in it that trouble folks, like obeying and submitting. Those types of words, folks have kind of a problem with those words in the 21st century. So Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17, it says, "Obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you." Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you. And that's from the New King James Version. So obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls. Now, this scripture is not telling us to do everything that the church leadership says. It's telling us to consider it. Think about it. And then even if it still doesn't feel right, kind of give it a shot. Because again, God puts leaders in our lives. He puts leaders in our lives. And he gives that leader insight into the people that he wants them to lead. He gives them insight. I appreciate Pastor Rob. Pastor Rob knows that I can get fired up mad.
No.
I just can.
No.
I just can. I just, you know, it's like, I tell you, When people say negative things about Pastor Rob, I just instantly get fired up mad. Now, Pastor Rob, he's better than me. He's better than me because he'll say, "Now, Ivy, I'm listening to that and I'm taking it as an earnest criticism." And I'll say to him, "Okay, since that's your attitude, I'm going to work really hard to get to that place as well." And I do. So it's important for us to listen to what our leader has to say. Many times Pastor Rob will ask me to do something and I'm just like, I capitol. I just do what he tells me to do. And I don't, many times our leaders, they're not necessarily needing our agreement. They're just hearing from God and they just need us to do what we've been asked. So it's important for us to submit to our leadership in that type of way.
Yeah, let me jump in here too. So, you know, I want you to think about this. Some of the things she just said about leadership. And the reason the world, when they look at certain things that we do as Christians, like give you an example. When you say the man is the head of the household, and I've done many weddings, I've performed, officiated many weddings where folks have asked me to remove the obey. And I've had to explain that out a little bit. But the truth of the matter is, because of some of the things we've done as far as demonstrating the integrity of whatever it is, if you're the husband or if you're the pastor, because of those things where we have not held the integrity level that God wants us to when he wrote these type of things, it makes the world look at us and they see abuses take place. And it sounds like the church is saying, allow yourself to be abused. Some people will say, "Well, I followed the pastor because he said it and I just went on and did it." We're talking about when things are in the right place. Okay? So I'm going to say this. When someone asks me to either be a godparent to their child or to join them in marriage or when I said to Pastor Rob that he is my spiritual head, I'm joining this church, I knew the full weight of what that meant. All of those things, I don't take them lightly. Because I realize, okay, if you're asking me to be the godparent of your child, I understand that's a heavy call, and I'm going to step up to that requirement. Meaning that something happens to you, I realize I'm financially, I'm time-wise, that child could possibly end up in our care. Yeah. Same way with coming to my pastor as a leader, I realize, and I've told him, say things to me that don't make me happy, that's okay. If it builds me spiritually, I'm saying you're my leader, do that. But before I could do that, I had to know that I'm dealing with a person of integrity. A person who has honor, and I had to know that God said, this is who I'm supposed to submit to. So understand, when we talk about these things that you're hearing, all of that is it's kind of like a given.
Yeah.
That's the given, that we're not asking, you know, this isn't no David Koresh, do exactly what he tells you to do, or else you're not following God. No, you got to know who you're hooked up with, who you're linked up with. I need to be careful saying hooked up.
Well, yeah, in this day and age, yes, you do.
And so that's really what this is coming from. So when it talks about the leaders, church leaders should be in agreement of the word, the interpretation and the application. Some of that could be a word that you receive in this place, especially, you know, before you act upon it, there has to be agreement. We prayed about it. We sought God. We tested it. All these things that we talked about, and we're ready to move forward. But also, if you get a personal prophecy, and if you give a personal prophecy, let's put it that way, there is a responsibility as a member of this church to go to that person you said is your spiritual head and say, this is what God spoke to me. Can you please pray about this and give us some instruction? This is what God said. Please help us through this and tell us if you get agreement with it or how you want to place it. Betty gave me a whole vision that she gave me some things, and I've been praying about that and listening to it, and Betty's been through our class. But one of the things Betty did is say, look, I want you to know this is what I feel the Lord has said to me, and she gave me this document. That's submitting to the leadership prophecies that you've received and visions that you've received, and so that they can help guide you through. And that is something that should take place.
Yes, absolutely. So again, this is not about control. We are not a cult.
Not at
all. Yeah, there should be some more amens to that, because we ain't a cult. We don't dance with snakes up in here. We ain't that kind of Christian. We ain't those type of Christians. We just ain't.
That's right.
Glory to the risen Lamb of God. Okay? We are not that. This is about seeking wisdom, knowledge, and encouragement. When you take a word that you've received from someone, when you take that word to your pastor, you're seeking guidance. You're seeking encouragement. You're seeking wisdom. Okay? Because, again, God puts people in charge over us. He puts people in charge over us in terms of, and when I say in charge of us, I'm thinking of God puts people over us, and they are assigned to take care of us. Okay? That's what's so cool about our pastor. He really does take care of us. When things are not, when there are people in our congregation, I'm getting emotional. When there are people in our congregation that are dealing with a matter, and this matter has gone on and on and on, and pastor has prayed for resolution. We as elders, we have prayed for resolution, and the resolution hasn't come. You know what our pastor says? Sometimes he gets so frustrated and aggrieved by it. He just looks at us and he says, I just wish I could do something. That's the kind of pastor that we have. He's not controlling. He doesn't stand over us with a rod. He cares about us, and he cares about our situation. One, because he's a good man, and two, because God has put him in charge for our care, okay? And so we should consider that when we want to get our back up about something that he said to us. He's been put in charge of our care. So, you know, he ain't saying something. Sometimes when he's up here preaching, many times, pastor, he goes off paper a little bit. And he starts saying some things to us prophetically. He's not saying those things because it makes him feel good and he wants us to all walk around like little Rob Barbers. No, he's hearing from God. And he's saying what God wants us to hear. And we need to remember that when we disagree with something that he has said. Amen?
And he's probably, right now, if he's seeing this service, he hates it when we do this.
Well, but honestly, that's why it's good when he ain't here today.
He doesn't like being pumped up.
He really doesn't. Because that's why it's good he ain't here today. So I can say everything about him I want to say. Ha, ha, ha. Happy vacation.
You're next. Number five. Are you on number five?
So one other thing that we want to remember about taking words to the leadership. We saw some really good examples of that today. It wasn't necessarily personal prophecy. It was people coming and giving what they believe God was saying for all of us as a congregation. Well, that's following protocol. It is the protocol of our congregation that when you have a prophetic word, when you hear something from the Lord, you come, you find a leader, and you ask them for permission to bring the word. Don't come up here grabbing a mic. Because again, Sister Ivy gets fired up mad. I might have to come down here. You know, just don't be coming and grabbing a mic and say, I got a word. And then, you know, if you have a word and whoever at that time who, for lack of a better word, adjudicates the word that you hear, if they don't want you to bring that word yourself, if they want to bring that word, don't get mad. It's not because they don't want you to have the microphone. There may be other stuff going on. Don't get mad. It's not about that. Sometimes, you know, stuff is just happening. Lots of things are happening. And don't be upset about that. Just say, come, follow the rule of bringing the word to the leadership, and then we'll move on with service and carry out what God wants us to say in that moment. Amen? Amen.
Amen.
So number five, the interpretation of any prophetic revelation belongs to God, not man. The interpretation of any prophetic revelation belongs to God, not man. Okay, so we all need the Holy Spirit's anointing to know the meaning of the word as well as what to do with it. Peter said this, but know this, first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation, for no prophecy was ever made by an act of human will, but men moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. That's from 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 through 21, okay?
So,
2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 and 21. And I'll just read that again. But know this first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever made by an act of human will, but men moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. So the prophetic work belongs to God, not to man. So let's be real plain about this. Pastor Otis gives a word to Brother Tony and says, Brother Tony, I hear the Lord saying that open up your wallet, grab a bowl, because you're about to catch a lot of money coming from the sky. Wouldn't that be super fun to give a word like that? That would be super fun. I've never been able to, he's never told me any, maybe a couple times. But yeah, but okay, I digress. But so if Pastor Otis gave Brother Tony like that a word, there could be some people in the congregation that are like, why does he only give words like that to men? Have you ever noticed that Pastor Otis only gives words about money and financial blessing to men? Have you ever noticed that about him? No, the prophetic word does not belong to Otis. The prophetic word belongs to God. Otis didn't make it up. Sister Ivy didn't make it up. We're hearing from God. And a lot of times, I just have to tell you, when I'm prophesying to somebody, there's a lot of times I don't even know who you are. I could have had you over for dinner. We sat down and ate roast chicken together or something, but you're standing in front of me. In that moment, I'm not looking at you, I'm hearing and reading and regurgitating what the Lord is telling me to say. It doesn't belong to me. It belongs to God. And also, I think it's important to not give sole validity to a word based on who gave it to you. Well, Sister Ivy gave me that. She ain't never been wrong. Well, that's error. That's error. We always test the word. We always see if it matches scripture. We always want to make sure, no matter who gives it to us, we always want to make sure that it's coming from God and that it's for you, for me. Okay? It's not about who gave it. Look, my husband is an awesome, handsome guy, and I've never heard him give a word that's wrong. But if he gave me a word, I'm gonna test it. Trust.
Yeah.
Because that's what I'm supposed to do. Okay? There's too many of us as Christians walking around receiving everything just because brother so-and-so said it. That's not okay. That's how we can fall into error. That's how we can make mistakes. Amen?
Now, I've given her words before. The one word she has not received recently is Samsung 96-inch TV.
And you know what? And I'm going to tell you right now, all of you wonderful brothers and sisters in Christ that keep confirming that word to him, stop it.
Sister Tina got what? Who else?
No. Sister Tina wants to confirm that word to us once a month. No, that is not a word from heaven. A 96-inch TV.
Yes and house, amen.
It's not a word from heaven.
Yes and amen.
You are in error. It's just ridiculous. It's ridiculous. Look at her waving her hands like you said something awesome.
That's right. Amen. Hallelujah. So, H, real quick, I want to let you know something, and I think we're doing okay on time. For you, if you receive a word, or even if you dream, and God gives you a dream, you know, we know that Abraham, there was a time Abraham didn't receive another word from God. He had to obey what God told him to do. He didn't receive another word for 30 years. Now, hopefully he doesn't go that long without talking to us. But I want to share with you, there's times God will speak to you and time will go by and you won't see that thing come to pass. Don't give it up. Sometimes you might hear me say there's no expiration. Some of God's words have an expiration. Some of God's words over you, if you receive a word, there are times that his word over you is conditional. If it says if or should you do, this will fall. Those are conditional words. That means that you've received the word and God says, this is conditioned upon you doing what I told you to do. There are other words that you will receive that just talks about what's going to take place. And it doesn't matter what you want, if you like it or not, it's just going to happen. Okay? And so understand, most of the time when you get a word or you have a dream, it might not happen right away. But trust that God is going to come through and still do what he told you he was going to do. And I'll just share a quick story with you. I had this one dream. Ivy and I did not have children. I had this dream, and I was picking out glasses. And I'm going to abbreviate this. But bottom line, I was at this store, and I'm picking out glasses. And I was going through all these different glasses, trying to pick what's right. No, this one doesn't look, no, fit no more. This one has too much gray in it, whatever. And the person, a friend of mine, was outside waiting for us. And Ivy and I are inside thinking we're getting glasses. And the person's helping us and everything. And I had that dream, and it was over. But it stuck with me the next morning, the next day, on to the next day after that, and it did not leave. I still remember that dream, but I didn't have anything to do with it. So I just said, okay, I don't understand. And this is where Pastor said, we see in part, we prophesy in part. That means we hear in part. Doesn't mean that word was not right on. Just means that it has not come to fruition what God wants to do there. All right, or it has not been revealed. 5 years goes by, and where I'm thinking, wow, I'm going to get new glasses, or maybe God's going to heal my eyesight. I went through all kinds of stuff saying what was going to happen. But no, it wasn't until later that we realized that we ourselves were not able to produce children. And God brought back to my mind when we went through classes, to be a foster adopt. And then when we were actually trying to select who's going to be our forever child, God said, this is what I was preparing you for. That you would look through my lens and see not just with your eyes, but select based on how I told. And it was like, aha moment. 5 to 6 years after the dream. So I want to tell you, when Pastor said, put it on a shelf, I don't know if you remember a couple of his messages, he said it twice, but he said, put it on the shelf. If you don't get a witness with it, put it on the shelf. That doesn't mean it's no good. It hasn't expired. It just means it's not now. So God will take you through. I just want you to know, for you to try to go and interpret what that means, you don't always have the interpretation. God has the interpretation. And when he's ready for you to fully understand that, bam, you will have it.
And I'm just to testify, I'm so glad that Holy Spirit spoke to Otis the way that he did, because my plan in terms of adoption was just not what Holy Spirit had in mind at all. I was going to adopt little Chinese and white babies. I was. because for me, I said, well, I don't always want to be asked the question, you know, did you adopt this child? Well, this is a Chinese baby. Of course I adopted that child. Nobody would ever ask because the baby would be Chinese. See how silly I was? I was just really kind of silly about the whole thing. And God spoke that to Otis. Praise the Lord. And now we have Seth and Jaden, who are awesome kids, and they look exactly like their parents.
No. So, but see, don't abandon what God is telling you. Even if you think you've outrun it, he can still do it. So.
Yes. So now we're going here. Look at us moving fast.
Okay, we ready?
We're so good.
And forgive me on turning these slides. I saw you guys looking for scripture, and I had forgot to turn the slide last time. So
yeah.
We're good now.
Yes. So how do Christians fall for bad prophecy? How does that happen? It's like, you know, we're like, okay, I read my Bible. I'm pretty smart with the word, but sometimes we just fall for some debunked stuff. So we want to talk about that a little bit. So one of the reasons that we as Christians fall for bad prophecy is just the lack of knowledge. Let's turn to Hosea chapter 4. And I'm going to read verse 6. Hosea chapter 4, verse 6. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I also will reject you from being priests for me. Because you have forgotten the law of your God, I also will forget your children. So, I tell you, that's a sentence right there. I also will forget your children. So, let's...
No.
Hallelujah. We live under grace. But, you know, there's a principle there. There's something there that we need to remember, that God considers a lack of knowledge a serious thing. Yes, we live under grace. We live under grace. And a lot of the, you know, fire, brimstone, wrath of God, punishments, we don't see a lot of that today. But those things are still happening. But when I see these types of things in the Old Testament, as a person who lives under the blood of Jesus, under grace, that reminds me of how serious the thing is that God is pointing out. He's saying, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. We are destroyed because we reject knowledge. So we should, as believers, we should be in our word. We should be in our word. Just all the time, as often as possible, eating it up. I know Pastor talks a lot about, you know, Bible memorization. He's right. It's important. We should be memorizing scripture. We should go back to the old days and start saying our Bible books again. You know, those types of things should be our touchstone, going back and making sure that we're girded up and knowing what we know, not knowing what grandma said.
Right.
Not knowing what your mama said or your daddy said. Do you know it for yourself? Can you explain it? Are you walking it out in your life?
Mm-hmm.
You got to know it for yourself. And when I say know it for yourself, I mean, can you the principles, the principles of God, the things that you are learning from Scripture, can you sit and talk about it with a friend?
That's right.
Can you do that? And let me say, that's a low bar, folks. That's a low bar. We got to be higher than that. We've got to know what we know and believe what we know.
Yeah, because truthfully, actually, when you think about it, it's, I must say this, performance anxiety happens when you're uncomfortable, yeah. Right? Yeah. And so, boy, that light is bright. But so understand, when she said you should be able to talk about it with a friend, that's a nice, and she said that's a low bar. Really, what God wants us to do is to be able to go and speak to someone who does not already know so that we can turn them. So they will hear it and go where he wants them to go. And a lot of time, that's opposition. You'll do it with someone who is opposing your position. And that causes things. You get flustered. I could know how to play a song. And I don't know if this ever happened to you, Andy. But, you know, I can have a song and think I have it licked. But my professor used to tell me, you don't have a song ready for performance until you have been tried and ready to deal with it even when your nerves are up. That means you're about to walk on the stage and know when you were at home playing for mom and grandma, that's one thing. But now you're about to get on stage where you have to present. It takes it to a whole new level and you're not as strong if you have not really practiced like you need to. So we need to be in our word, not just for comfort, but so that we can be ready to defend our belief. Amen? And it doesn't mean you're going to twist people's arms. I'm not telling you that. But you should be able to explain to people why you hold a position that you do. And they might not necessarily agree with you. Okay? So we need to be ready to do that. Again, remember, it helps us find counterfeits.
Yes.
How are you going to know if you got a prophetic word? How can you even test it if you don't really fully know what this says? Mm-hmm. It's going to be very hard. I know people right now, and I've had to straighten some people out who have called me, and I know we use this as an extreme. It is an extreme. But I don't believe I'm supposed to be with my mate, and God is telling me it's okay for me to move.
Now, these are extremes. We're giving extreme examples, but please understand, we've actually had to have these conversations with people, and unfortunately, we've had to have this conversation with too many people. People who are who we thought were rooted and grounded in the word.
Right.
I'm sorry, I interrupted your thought.
No, that's okay. We just need to be prepared to judge the prophetic word. You cannot properly judge if you don't know the word. So when he talks about knowledge being very important, it's a pivotal piece. If you don't have the knowledge, then you could follow something that's going to lead you down the wrong road. And God's going to be saying, no, baby, come over here. I want you back over here. But you didn't study.
Yeah.
So.
Amen. Amen. Another reason that some Christians, we fall for bad prophecy is what Lester Summerall calls an imbalanced mind. An imbalanced mind. We as Christians, we have, our mind is kind of comprised of different things. It's comprised of different parts. We have a spiritual mind, we have a soulish mind, we have a natural mind, a carnal mind, and if we keep messing up and not seeking God's forgiveness, we get turned over to reprobate mind. Okay, so we have a spiritual mind, a soulish mind, a natural mind, and a carnal mind. So we want to talk a little bit about the spiritual mind. Want to go ahead and do that?
Sure. So this is some of what we teach in our class it is what we teach in our class. So here again, we're talking about imbalanced mind. So when you think of a spiritual mind, the spiritual mind, am I on the right page?
No, you're not.
You got to turn now.
I'm going to be the clicker now. Go ahead.
There we go.
All right.
All right. So the spiritual mind is the mind every born again, spirit-filled believer has. Okay? So now, understand, before being born again, you can read scripture. You can read the truth. But you don't necessarily comprehend it. Right? You can know what it says. You can know factual things. But you don't understand the essence and the reason behind it. But when you get a spiritual mind, now you take on the mind of Christ. So that when God speaks, you start to hear what he is saying. And not just hear, but understand. So let's turn to 1 Corinthians 2, verse 13 through 16. You there?
Mm-hmm. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 13 through 16. I didn't type it out, I don't think. Okay. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ.
Amen. So what I want to encourage you, and I said this last time we ministered this, a couple weeks ago, is when you're trying to hear from God, and again, we're talking about judging prophecy, so this piece is important, to operate and to judge out of a spiritual mind. It is important, as you've heard the word, listen with that spiritual mind that you have, because what it will do is it takes you away from the natural mind, the carnal mind, because those things that you know, those experiences you have formed your filters, okay? So understand, every time you hear something from someone, your hearing is what they've transmitted to you, what you've received goes through a filter before you actually act upon it and understand it. And so our filters will say things like, let's see, I'm trying not to be offensive. I'm trying to find something right. I've got some people, there's some negative connotation that goes along with certain words, so I'm trying to avoid those. But let's say, like what? Can anything good come out of Jerusalem? You know, can any, well, is anybody in Meigs County not on marijuana? I mean, there's stupid stuff that people say, okay? Yeah. The natural mind will mess, I know I'm jumping ahead, but. Yeah. I'm not going to stay there. The natural mind uses experiences, things that have trained it, and it lets those filters operate and minimize what God is saying. That's why you have to have a spiritual mind to hear, God, what are you saying? So that will cause you to look beyond what you see, the type of words you might hear in your head that would say, you'll omit these type of things. Oh, that's a woman. I can't receive that word from her. He's black, and he probably can't even tell me what God is saying. Their kids are all jacked up. Their kids are all jacked up. Can they say anything to me?
Right, about parenting, yeah.
You know, go ahead. What were you going to say?
No, that was good. I was going to bring what you said about he's black, he can't say anything to me. I want to make that a little more specific. There are some folks that think that African-American people can't prophesy about wealth because they may not have seen any rich black people or something. But there is, we have been in places where we will start to prophesy to certain people about wealth, and Holy Spirit I can just really see, I was like, wow, this is just not landing. It's not landing. And then, you know, a lot of times there are some carnal things, some natural things in the way that we think, in the way that we carry out stereotypes that can prohibit us from receiving and hearing from God on certain things if it comes from a particular person. That's the reason why I say we should not judge the validity or the something being invalid based upon who gives it, because all prophecy comes from God. It's not the person.
Right.
Okay. So when we are listening and moving with the spiritual mind, we don't get tripped up by these silly things.
Absolutely. And that's where we need to be. Listening with the spiritual mind, because then you'll hear God. That's all we're looking for. I don't care if it's my son. My daughter has said something when she was just 5 years old that was shocking, and God said, listen to that. Mm-hmm. Normally, I would have not listened, but God said, I'm in that. Listen. And he taught me something through a little girl. Yeah. So anyway, we want to operate from a spiritual mind and let God speak to us there.
So again, we're still talking about people falling for bad prophecy, and it's because of an imbalanced mind. We want to talk about another type of mind called the soulish mind. The soulish mind is comprised... Oh, did you click? See, you're the...
I'm not an expert at this.
The soulish mind is comprised of our mind, our will. When I say will, I mean impulses.
Look at this.
And our emotions. Keep going.
I know.
See?
There we go. I missed all kinds of slides. I should have
You're good.
Somebody else
so that. The soulish mind is comprised of our mind, our will, our impulses, and our emotions. God has graced our soulish mind with such great capacities as memory, creativity, and imagination. So listening and learning with our soulish mind can be good and it can be bad. Things need to be imbalanced. We fall for bad prophecy when we only use our soulish mind to judge a word. Ooh, well, that felt good, so I know that was from Jesus. So, it could be wrong. I know, I mean, you know, especially if you receive like a wonderful airy fairy prophecy, it's like, oh, that feels so good, I feel electric. Well, but that's not how you should judge whether or not a word is from the Lord. That's not how you should do that. That's imbalance. That's imbalance. So, you know, there are great things that rest in our soulish mind, like creativity and imagination. For those of us that move in the ministering arts, this is where, you know, we see those dance routines, or we create that wonderful painting or something. That's where all of those types of things reside. But we should not be ruled by that. Does everybody understand what I mean? Praise the Lord. Next is the natural mind.
Okay, all of these here.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm going faster. Sorry, I'm just going faster. Okay. Go to natural mind. I'm going fast. See, because it's 11:29. Oh. Keep going.
Oh my
there
goodness.
You go, natural mind.
Okay.
So we're having a dialogue about our message right now. Okay, so natural mind. The natural mind produces normal thought. It is neither good nor bad. It is the mind that is trained, skilled, and educated. It gives us the ability to live and function. Again, it's not either good nor bad. It's how you use it. Let's say if you are a highly educated person and you have difficulty listening to people or listening to someone bring a message who only has a high school degree. Well, your natural mind is too big for its britches. Okay, your natural mind is too big for its britches. I don't care what degree you got. If you say something in the Bible, I'm eating it up. Okay, so our natural mind, again, is not good. It's neither good nor bad. It's how we use it. If your natural mind is controlling how you receive or hear something, or how you act, then you are imbalanced, because our natural mind should not control that thing. But also, it's important for us to understand that education is good. And it's not necessarily about formal education. We should all be reading something, okay? We should be reading something. We should all be trying to learn something new.
Or curious.
Or
even
yes,
if you're not reading
that's a,
it, it
that's
could be
a
something
good
you're
word.
Looking into.
Yeah, we should be curious about things. We shouldn't think, well, I know how that works. There's no way that could work any other way, because this is the way I've always done it. Well, that's not okay. That's allowing your natural mind to rule in that situation or in that circumstance. So, education is good. Curiosity is good. Always trying to expand our knowledge and our wisdom is a good thing.
Amen. So listen, I want to touch on this a little bit here as far as the natural mind. Again, Ivy said on this, we're talking about things in balance. But really, when it's in balance, God wants you to use all of these things. So understand, he doesn't want us to be overly spiritual minded. It's good to be spiritually minded, okay, or to have the mind of Christ. We always want to have it. But he doesn't really, you know, that slows things up if you're trying to pick out your outfit and you're late to work. Okay? Yeah. Okay. Pick something that looks color coordinated and go. You don't have to sit there and, God, give me the mind of Christ so I can understand the color of tie. Yeah. Sometimes somebody is in need and you see someone who needs some food. It's not now time to wait around and see if you, is God saying I should feed them? Give them something to eat. Okay? Sometimes we try to be spiritually minded in things where he's saying, I gave you good common sense.
Yeah, yeah.
Lock the door.
Oh, I have a funny situation about that.
You know, go ahead.
When I was teaching more often, I had a student, I was teaching a class voice at Ohio University. And I had a student in my class, and I honestly, he struck me as somebody who just got saved, like he'd been saved like a month and a half or so. And he would come when he came to class because he was skipping a lot. And when he came to class, he was sleeping through the class and just really not doing well. And so I told him, and this particular student, he was in the College of Business. And the College of Business would send students over to my class and Class Voice to help them to be more presentational. And Class Voice can help people with that. Well, this guy, he could sing. He had a good voice. But the problem was that he was going to too many late night prayer services and Bible studies. And so I guess he had looked me up or something online or something like that. And he thought that I would be sympathetic to him falling asleep in my class because I would understand that he was hungry for God and he was staying up late going to Bible studies and that he wasn't drinking. And I told him, I said, you have to pass this class. And trust me, Jesus wants you to pass too. So I'm going to need you to read this text.
Mm-hmm. Right.
We have a textbook. I'm going to need you to read the text and try to pass this. You have two more tests. You have two more opportunities. So while you at the Bible study, I don't know, why don't you go over to another room or maybe skip one and go to Alden Library and study so that you can pass this class because you need to study to show yourself approved. Did y'all learn that in Bible study? So, you know, he thought he was going to get over on me. I'm like, look, I love Jesus too, but Jesus knows that I have to pass this test and he wants me to study.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay, gotta be in balance. Gotta be in balance. So, still talking about the carnal mind. We're going to the carnal mind.
Yes.
The carnal mind is at enmity against God, according to Romans chapter 8, verses 6 and 7. This is the part of our minds that can be consumed with ungodly thoughts and desires. Okay? It can be consumed with ungodly thoughts and desires. Enmity means the state or feeling of being actively opposed or hostile to someone or something. So when we say that the carnal mind is against God, it's actively against God. It's actively and purposefully not doing the things that they know they're supposed to do. Okay? And those, when, you know, to know to do good and not do it is sin, the Bible says. Okay, so if you know that you're doing the wrong thing, but you still go and do it anyway and think, oh, I'll ask God for forgiveness later, but I got to do this. You're wrong. And you're in your carnal mind and you need to try to, you know, get back to your spiritual mind with the quickness.
Now, let me tell you real quick, just so you understand. Sometimes we think carnal mind and we think I'm born again Christian. I don't have a carnal mind. We all have a carnal mind.
All of us. Yes.
Let me show you where my carnal mind shows up. Well, there's other places, but I won't share those. No, see, no, seriously. Right when I'm listening to God and God says, listen, you now have the motivation to get done what I've given you to do. You've got time to do it. Let's go and get this thing done. Something God told me to get done. And I go to do that. And now all of a sudden, I happen to look up and notice that the vents all have fuzz and dust coming out of them. All of a sudden, I noticed things that I normally would have walked right by. But now, because God has my attention and wants me to work on something, I start noticing the dumbest stuff that's always been there. Yes, it needs clean, but it's needed clean the last year. But now I'm about to lose all my time that I had to go and do what God was telling me to do, because my carnal mind is saying, I really don't want you doing that. You might discover who you are if you go and do what God has for you to do. Instead, oh, squirrel. Now, that sounds silly, but we don't realize even those type of things. There's times when I will be working on something and God will be right on the, he will be right there on the verge of breaking something new and showing me something, and I'll start to see what he's doing, and Seth and Jayden will run in and do a certain thing, and next thing I know, I'm allowing my mind to go over here. Now, those are areas I've wanted to highlight, just because a lot of times we think carnal mind, and you think of, oh, I stole something. I mean, we think of those things that are really bad, or I went and I chased after this skirt or this person.
Or I had a lustful thought about somebody that's not my spouse.
Right. I mean, we think of those big things. Oh, I'd never do that. I'm not doing drugs. I'm not doing pornography. I'm not cheating on my wife or husband. We those type of things we say carnal. I'm not hurting anybody. But she said it's opposite of the things of God. So that carnal mind can show up in any area where God has told you to do this, and it tries to tell you, do this. Okay? So it's not all dramatic to where it comes and looks like the devil with horns or something.
Yes, that's important to realize. Okay? So a carnal mind is also, as we said, that it's a thought that could be originating from lust or the flesh. It's thoughts that identify and activate works of the flesh. That's the reason why it's important for us to try to live a pure life. Okay? I do want to say this. Trying to live a pure life, trying to live a life that uses clean hands, it's a wonderful, good thing. But it's important for us to not allow the carnal mind to get in there and make us legalistic and make us think that just because somebody that doesn't live the way that I do, that this person doesn't do this thing the way that I would do it, that I'm better than that person, or that person is not worthy of God or worthy of God's grace and forgiveness. We as Christians, we do that. We do that a lot, unfortunately. And unfortunately, we have turned many, many, many people away from Jesus. We've turned a lot of people away from Jesus. It's really important for us that we not allow, the work and the things that we're striving for. It's important for us to understand that we are actually striving. We haven't arrived, and we ain't gonna arrive. We ain't better than anybody. We just aren't. And so we have to be really cautious about that. We have to be balanced and even by that. Everybody is worthy of God's grace. Everybody is worthy of God's mercy.
Now, understand, tie all of this, everything we're still talking about, is to tie you back to how we judge prophecy. I know you're hearing about these minds, and we're talking about the things you do. But so if we bring it back to how you judge prophecies that you've received, carnal mind could sound like this. God tells you, I have a job for you to do. You're going to go out and you're going to do work in the mission field. And immediately some of us start getting worried about that, because we heard of how people who live, who are out in the mission field, I'm sending you to Africa. I'm sending you to wherever he's sending you. And you start thinking he's going to mess with your little world. I like it where I'm at. I'm comfortable where I'm at. Or maybe God tells you about something that he wants you to do, and it doesn't sound like it's lucrative. Or it's going to hinder, maybe he tells you to go and do something and give up your time on a certain thing, and you're like, I can't see myself doing that. That just is, I got other goals. That's your carnal mind coming up and saying, no, God. No, I didn't go to school all this time to do this for you to tell me to do that.
Or he tells you to go and minister in a Muslim nation. Right. He tells you to leave America where there are freedoms and there are a lot of people that love Jesus, and he tells you to go minister in a Muslim nation. Well, God, these people, they think I'm the infidel. How can I minister to these people? These people will never love you. Everybody is worthy of God's grace. Everybody needs to hear the love of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
If we hear God's voice, if we hear a prophecy through the filter of the carnal mind, we can really mess up. And our prejudices, our stereotypes, our wrong opinions can lead us in the wrong direction. Amen? Let's not be like Jonah. Now you guys know that we, as a church, we are a part of Right Media. You can log in. You can log into Right Media.
Right now.
Right Now Media? Oh, I'm sorry, Right Now Media. And there is a teaching on Jonah by Dr. Chan. It is excellent. Everybody should watch it. We went through it in our life group, or our Connect group. I gotta say Connect group. We went through it in our Connect group, and it is so good. It can really help you work to balance the different our different minds. It's an excellent teaching.
Yeah, actually, it was really good. We'll put who did it, because his name's, it's not Dr. Chan. It's Eric. Yeah, it was Eric something.
I thought it was Chan.
No, that's another teaching.
Do you remember Barb?
Hey guys. It was Eric. But just so you know, she was wrong. She was wrong.
Barb was in it. We're going to ask Barb later. She did it.
She would have lost that bet.
I don't think I lost that bet.
Okay, so you hear it. Okay, we're going to put it on Facebook. It's Eric.
Okay, handshake.
Okay, that's the left-hand handshake. All right. Okay. Anyway, I'm sorry you guys have to witness this. I'm sorry. It's painful.
Let's go to that one.
Let's move on. We've digressed. All right. Am I going the wrong way?
Oh, going to reprobate mind. Keep going.
Yeah. Okay, there we go.
Yep, reprobate mind.
Oh, shit.
You're good. You went out. You're fine.
All
okay,
right.
So anyway, reprobate mind. Reprobate mind is, this is the bad one. Christians do not possess a reprobate mind. It is given to those who knowingly refuse and willingly allow themselves to become deceived because of their evil and self-serving desires. Okay? So this is something that happens to us when we just decide, okay, I ain't listening to Jesus. I'm not doing what he says. I'm just not going to. Yes, I was raised this way. I don't care. I'm not going to do this. And if we decide to live in this way for, you know, a particularly long season, then Holy Spirit puts us in he just puts us in this place of reprobate mind, and then we just fall out of favor, and our lives are open to the plan and the forces of the enemy. We don't want to get to that place. We don't want to get to that place.
Amen. Amen. So, you know, Ivy had some things
handed out. They passed it out.
Okay, good. So let's see. That's the end of our slide anyway. Yeah. But
we the ushers gave you something called What to Do When You Receive a Personal Prophetic Word. And I'm not going to read this to you. You are welcome to read this at your leisure. But these are just some things that you can do. Like if I come to you and say, Brother Curtis, the word of the Lord for you today is ding-a-ding-a-ding-a-ding-a-ding-a-dong-ding. You get that prophetic word, and of course it won't be ding-a-dong-ding, but you'll get that prophetic word, and then you'll just follow these steps. It helps you to eat it. It helps you to figure out what to do with it, and if you should be doing something with it. It just helps you. The first step is to write it down. It's really important to write your prophetic words, okay? Especially if you're getting a prophetic word and you're in like a heightened state. You know, you're like crying, or you fell out in the spirit or something like that. So it's important to write that prophecy down, because you may not have heard it all because you were in a heightened emotional state. Here at Bethel, we try to have a CD rolling when prophecy starts. You can also get your cell phone out and pull out your recording app and record that prophetic word yourself. Okay? Because sometimes back there, there may not be anybody back there who's recording it, okay? So it's important for you to have it so that you can recount it and go back to it later. So that's something we really like to start everybody doing. If you have a cell phone, if you have a tablet, if it has some sort of way to record your own prophetic word, okay? Write it down. Then you want to
And also, before we go on, remember, writing things down, I can't remember the percentage of increase of you being able to retain, but it's way higher than if you are just listening to a word. So the moment you put some physical movement to it, you will retain it even more.
Yes. Then you want to test it. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 19 through 20, do not quench the spirit. We read that scripture earlier. So you want to test that word. You want to explore it. You want to make sure that it matches scripture. You want to make sure that, does the prophecy ring true with you? Does the prophecy glorify Jesus? Is it going to bring you closer to God? Those are the types of things you're going to start asking Holy Spirit, okay? Then you're going to surrender it. And a way to surrender a personal prophecy is to take it to the leadership, as we discussed earlier. Then, once you've got confirmation that that prophecy is true and sound, you want to begin to pray that the Lord's will be done in your life, okay?
Also, it's good to remember this. I know we're kind of hitting this kind of quick, but anytime we get up and speak, it feels like we never have enough time to hit everything. But surrender, it also could be let it go, let it go. Now, what does that look like? You've got this word. You don't know what to do with it yet. You're still trying to hear God on if it's real or if it's something that the person who delivered it just had too much pizza the night before. Who knows? But you really do have to let it go. Walk away from it. Remember, it's like Pastor said, put it on the shelf. That's letting it go. That does, or surrendering. That's not like you're just totally forgetting it. But sometimes if you hover over something, you can try to make something a self-fulfilling prophecy. That's not going to be fruitful. Because again, remember, it's not going to strengthen your testimony. Because if you try to bring it in too soon and make it happen, and God didn't really work and tell you, yes, you've been marinating in this long enough, I'm ready to cook it. That's my slang for it. But bottom line is, if you try to go too fast, you fall on your face, the world sees it, and then you say, God told me, and it looks like God failed. No, God is not a failure.
That's right. Hallelujah.
So you got to go when God tells you to go. So you got to be willing to surrender it until God's timing.
Okay. So, and then we said pray it, and then, you want to revisit it. Okay, sometimes it may take years for certain prophecies to come to pass. It's good to return to a personal prophecy to see where things stand. Okay, so this is just something, some things that you can do once you get a word. There's been so many times where I've given a prophecy to somebody and then I can see all over that person's face, well, what am I supposed to do with that? Well, here you go. Use this. Use this. It will help you figure out what to do with that. Thank you, Lord God. 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 Father, we just trust you and we love you. We love you and we depend upon you in all things. Your ways are always right. You never say anything wrong, and we believe that. Father, our certainty that you love us is wonderful. It gives us peace. We thank you, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Hello, this is Pastor Rob Barber. I hope you've been blessed by this message because our desire is to connect you to God and His kingdom with anointed messages. If you have enjoyed this podcast and would like more information about our ministry, please visit our website at bethelchurch.community. And remember, love never fails.